Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they settled up on a Thursday afternoon. July futures for the soft red winter wheat at $6.79 and a quarter were up 7 and a quarter at the end of the day. The September at $6.83, up 4 cents. The hard red July in Kansas City down a half cent at $7.11 and a half. From the corn pit, a raise up 7 cents at $7.16 and three quarters. September at $5.60 and three quarters, up 7, and December at $5.27, 5 and a half higher. March corn at $5.39 and a quarter, up 5 and three quarters, and the May at $5.46 and three quarters, 6 cents higher. And the July contract at $5.53, up 5 and three quarters in the corn pit. July corn futures, or rather July soybean futures, $16.01 and a quarter, up 9 and a half cents. The August at $14.72, 7 and a quarter higher. And September at $13.32 and a half, up 3 and a half. November beans at $12.90 and three quarters, up 6. And January at $12.95, 5 and a half higher. The March contract at $12.92 and three quarters, up 6 cents for the day. Soybean meal at $5.25.70, up 5.20. And soybean oil today at $46.49, down 49 cents. Live cattle futures in the August at $121.92 and a half, down 15 cents. Feeder cattle at $150, 12 and a half, or 42 and a half cents lower. And the July lean hogs at $102.17 and a half are up 25 cents at this hour. In Washington, D.C. at this hour, Congress continues to debate the farm bill side of the farm bill legislation in the House of Representatives, and it appears that they are just about to have a vote. It may be by the time we get to the bottom of this half hour, when we talk with Rod Weinzierl of the Corn Growers, that we'll know the answer to that question. Let's take a look at what's been happening in the outside markets. Crude oil futures in the August contract at $104.74 a barrel, or down $1.78. RBOB gasoline at $3.03 and a tenth of a cent, a penny and 6 cents higher. Ethanol trading at $2.46 and 9 cents, up 2 and 8 cents. And the spread between those two is 56 and two-tenths of a cent. That's just about a penny and a tenth narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at 361 and three-tenths, down 6 and 7 tenths. And diesel fuel at $2.99 and six-tenths, just about unchanged on the day. Gold futures at $1,279.90 an ounce, up $32.50 on this Thursday afternoon. Let's check now to see what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Of course, it is a beautiful day. The winds have turned to the north-northwest at this time, and our highs will be only in the 80s, the lower 80s, in fact, and it should be dry over the next several days. The forecast says that this afternoon we'll see an 81-degree high with sunny skies on that northeast wind, actually, at 9 miles an hour. Tonight, clear and a low of 54. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 81. East winds at 3 to 6 tomorrow, and then clear on Friday night with a low of just a 58 degrees. Saturday, sunny skies and 84. An east wind at 6 miles an hour. Saturday night, mostly clear in the area, a low of 62. And Sunday, mostly sunny, and a high of 85 degrees. Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 67. On Monday, sunny skies, 87 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy and 69. And on Tuesday of next week, partly sunny, a high of 87. Tuesday evening, a low of 69 and partly cloudy. And then Wednesday, we'll get to mostly sunny skies and a high of 87 degrees. More on the weather forecast closer to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's go through some of the numbers as they came out this morning from the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. They didn't do a lot to change the soybeans. The corn numbers didn't change a whole lot either. I think there was a 40 million bushel shift of some sort, one way or the other, but still we're looking at just about a 14 billion bushel crop in the coming year.
Well, that's where they're starting at anyway. I mean, they did use, they kept the yield the same. Now, some people would want to argue that based upon current crop rating levels as of last Monday, maybe that number could have been a little higher, but my guess is the rating levels are probably going to drop a point or two probably this Monday. So I think USDA just decided to just leave it where it's at, and then they used the a smaller harvested acreage number that USDA plugged into the market there on the June report. And then, of course, they, you know, we did lower old crop ending stocks, so that lowered the beginning stocks. But we still end up with a fairly hefty carryover, or I mean, yeah, ending stocks level a year from September. But we've got a long ways to go before this crop is signed, sealed, and delivered. And USDA did choose to knock all $50 million, I think, off of export and $50 million off of feed usage from their previous report on the new crop balance sheet. But, you know, we've China's been a pretty good buyer here. They picked up 1 million tons of corn for their reserve, so they're replenishing their reserve, and they've been, you know, kind of a steady buyer here of wheat and soybeans. So maybe demand might end up being a little better than everybody thinks right at the moment anyway.
You have a good view of demand from your perch there in New Orleans. Many people think it might be better. Are you among them is the real question.
Well, I don't know how it could get I guess I don't see how the trade could plug in any worse demand numbers. I mean, and I guess that's one of the reasons why I kind of want to be a little friendly this market is because if you talk to anybody in the commercial grain trade or any of you get into the market advisories and all this kind of stuff, everybody wants to be so bearish it's terrible. And I can appreciate that point of view when you look at the balance sheet. You know, that balance sheet is not sealed and signed, sealed, and delivered yet. And I think, you know, we've got corn acres probably too high. I think 156 bushel per acre corns might be rich given the way this crop went into the ground. So, you know, if you look over the past years, I mean, everybody wants to use 160 bushels or better. Well, the last time we had 164 bushel per acre, we planted 10 million acres less corn. So I think with the larger acreage and the problems that we've had with flooding, a creek bottom flooding, river bottom flooding, whatnot, I'm not real convinced that yield is as high as what everybody wants to make it. I guess I'd be more inclined to think it's down closer to the low 150s, and we haven't really got into the pollination and the filling stages yet, which is going to be basically, you know, the last 10 days of July and basically all of August, as late as this crop is, and a lot of things can change.
Does your cyclical work fit that fundamental picture?
Yes. I want to be friendly. I think there's a reasonable chance that we could be pulling out of a four-year cycle low here. I think we're pulling out of a 45 to 50-week cycle low. So I'm inclined to kind of think this market is tracing out a summer low, and we're going to start moving sideways to higher. As we go into the fall months, I mean, the pipeline is empty. Harvest is going to be late. We've got a pretty tight situation to get between, you know, mid-August and October 1st before any meaningful supplies of inventory really come into the market. So, I think there's some upside in this market, much more than what anybody else really thinks.
Well, December corn at 527, and what did we go down to? Four or something or other, I forgot.
Yeah, we went down about 490, I think.
Yeah, 490.
We had a pretty good collapse there off of that 571 all the way down to 490, and now we're back to basically, you know, 5.25. Halfway back, you know, to that 571 levels, 530, corn futures have a tendency to find resistance at the 50% point. But if corn does break through the 50% point, then it kind of opens the gate for a much stronger recovery. I look at a weekly chart. The stochastic indicator has a a bullish divergence pattern in it, and that would suggest that there's an opportunity or a shot that these corn can go on up through those 570 highs that we had. That's kind of a, there's a kind of a triple top up there. And if we get back up into that area, I think we'll slice through that like warm butter. And it's like anything, you knock on the door long enough and the door is going to open. And the corn market has been knocking on that 570 door now three times. So I think if we get anywhere close up into that area, we'll go through that. And then clear out a path to something around $6.
I'm going to have to take a drive out west to be convinced that the crop is not there because it looks awful good here.
Well, now remember, I'm a technician.
I know,
and it doesn't necessarily have to come from a shorter crop.
Yeah.
Look what happened to the dollar here the last couple of days. And you can see how everybody whines and moans and groans about higher interest rates, how it was going to turn the stock market down and we were going to get into deflation and how it was going to kill the housing industry. So Bernanke was forced basically to, you know, give the market more cocaine. I mean, the market has been living on easy money and quantitative easing and accommodation. So as soon as he says, okay, we're going to start printing money again, and the dollar weakens and commodities start firming up. So we might be in a position here, and I'm convinced that whoever replaces Bernanke is going to be way more liberal Federal Reserve Board chairman. He'll probably want to print twice as much money as Bernanke. And so I think longer term that tells you that you know, the dollar could still go into a very meltdown phase, and we could have massive inflation down the road. So the weak dollar could rally commodity prices a whole lot higher than anybody thinks. I mean, we're up to $107 oil here. Now, I know a lot of that came from Egypt, but those are factors that come into play. Inflation, geopolitical forces. I mean, what would happen if the Suez Canal was shut down for a month? I got a chart formation that says crude oil could probably go back to $135, $140. I'd like to know how Bernanke's going to handle that one. But I think the dollar weakness and the addiction the market has to a weak monetary policy is going to provide probably some more excitement in the commodity markets than anybody plans on.
It's always fun to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Just a couple of hours ago, Daryl Good came downstairs to my office in Mumford Hall, and we talked for quite some time. I'll post that up on the website pretty shortly. It'll be for Commodity Week, not this week, but the following week, because I'll be in Haiti. But I did ask him about something you've been hearing about on the program several times over the last couple of weeks, and that's whether or not it might be a good time now to look at pricing out some of your 2014 corn.
My opinion is yes. Here's my concern. We're going to, if we get a 14 billion bushel crop, we push corn prices 50 cents lower than what they are right now, and that will be reflected in the 2014 price as well. What prevents us from doing that again next year, another 14 billion bushel crop, another billion bushels added to carry over, and another 50 cents lower in price. So I think there is some real downside risk on 2014 prices. The question is whether that downside risk will materialize before crop insurance prices are established in February of next year. And my concern is it will, and that we may be looking at what we would consider to be very low price guarantees on crop insurance come February of 2014. Interestingly enough, December 2014 futures are at a premium to 2013. You can sell that crop 20 to 25 cents higher than the 13 crop. I think we ought to be doing it.
Do you have a strategy for that? Are you going to do it with options, or you just hedge?
No, if you can cash flow it and manage the cash flow risk, I think hedging is the way to do it. I wouldn't approach it with options at this point. If you can't manage the cash flow, then hedge to arrive or just cash contracts would be the way to go.
That's Darrell Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois.